This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It is a traditional Wednesday program here. I don't know about you, but I'm kicking some serious ass today.
We are on fire right now. We love our Wednesday shows.
I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch.
We're hot like the Charlotte Hornets.
My name is Isaac.
Sada.
I say to you, sir.
Yeah, what about an Asachi custom plate?
Big suit right over there.
With
Junior Golfer Association Asachi plate?
Come on. I like that for you.
Let's get it.
Back of that little Subaru. Let's do this.
It's not so little.
That's what she said.
That is what she said. Are your balls jiggling? Coming up here.
After the hot 5 of 5, of course.
Then the bonus rewards program kicks in. Oh, I know what it was. How a bro gets 3 luxury cars stolen at one time. We have the details.
It does seem like a lot of luxury cars.
Is his name Carson Beck?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the story I'm talking about.
I was just joking. I thought he got 2 cars stolen. Did he get 3?
Well, no, it was 2, but it's funny that the third one didn't get stolen. So the details are out of how that happened.
Okay.
And I find it fascinating and funny all in
I have not seen these. I just saw the story.
I feel terrible because I'm an awful human being, but like when I first heard that story, I chuckled. And I don't know why. I'm sure Carson Beck seems like a fine dude.
Because he doesn't play quarterback well enough to be driving around in a Lamborghini. That's why.
There's an element of that, right? Like, the fact that you took that money, and by the way, enjoy it, because I'm not certain you're making a bunch of NFL money, and you bought a Lamborghini, there's part of me that's like, you dumbass.
Like, awesome job getting the NIL, but dude, yeah. Like, you're not, yeah. You're not,
yeah.
You're not that.
I chuckled a little bit.
How do you, we're out of time. This is going to be the next segment. And before I present you the story, I would like for you to guess how it happened. So he had 2 really nice cars stolen.
Yes. One of them being a Lamborghini.
Correct.
And the other was like a Mercedes SUV or something?
So when I'm so dumb, but we already know that.
Yeah.
When I think of somebody getting a really nice car stolen like that, mm-hmm. I think of like Hotwired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That is not what happened.
No.
Do you know how how would you think of?
I think nowadays, knowing Hotwires, I think they just like every car now is a remote starter. And I think they can I think people can basically steal your ignition code or whatever. They can get a device that starts your car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is not how it happened.
Because okay. I've read now that like people like as you're opening your car or whatever, like people can scan your key fob. They basically can create new key fobs for your
car. I see. Okay.
Because no one has a key anymore.
Well, that is also not what happened. Okay. So we will get to that next in our next segment here. Club 1080 tonight. What do we have? Oh, I still have the most SNL episodes by cast member.
Okay.
That you have to guess.
I do know who is number one.
And would you sit next to a dead body for 15 hours on a flight?
Okay, do I get to poke it? I mean,
you can do whatever you want to it, yeah. But some of that is a crime.
Really?
Desecration of a corpse,
Holmes. Well, yeah, you can't.
Why can't? No, that's not desecration. I'm just poking.
Well, I said some of that is a crime. So be careful.
Yeah, I'll sit next to a dead
body. But that happened on a flight.
Gee.
Yeah.
I can't request a chain seat. Can't put them in the can or something.
That's kind of what I thought. Why don't you throw the body in the...
Did they know he was... all right, we'll get to it.
Well, we've done a show once where somebody was on a flight with a dead person or somebody who had a heart attack, and they did kind of drag them to that back area where the flight crew is.
Yeah.
You know?
I would
assume. Where you can just stand back there and look out the little window.
And they kind of just left them with a sheet back there,
yeah,
right?
They put a sheet over them. I don't remember who said that.
Seems like that's the appropriate way to do it.
And there's not up in here.
And there's only one way to find out if he's dead. Poke him.
All right. So right now, though, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Finally.
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com.
He's going
to
go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Number five.
Well, the Blazers are playing the worst team in the NBA tonight, and they are in a tussle.
I am very confident that the Wizards will outtank the Blazers.
31 seconds left in the first half. Blazers up 4, 55-51. Shade Sharp with 18 off the bench.
Well, apparently he is engaged in this one, and Chance did not bench him and get pissed off at him.
Every Trailblazer who has entered the game has scored.
Yeah, Tomani Kamara has 1 point.
That's right. But also 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals.
That's why he's the franchise cornerstone.
He is their best player. Him and Denny have been their best two players.
Would you like other NBA scores?
Not really, but you can give them to me anyways.
Yeah, I don't. I'm with you.
I mean, do you really?
No.
Who cares? Do I need to know what's going on?
Well, the Thunder are losing to
number
the Nets.
Number 4.
What about that hot Pistons Raptors or Pistons Pacers game? We had hot Raptors talk earlier.
It's Pistons Celtics, idiot. And it's 55-55 at half.
Ooh, that vicious cat fight.
Hey, listen, the Mariners, coming into today's game against the A's at spring training, had scored 40 runs in the last 4 games, or 44 runs.
That is quite a few runs.
Yeah, they're really popping that baseball out of there.
It sounded uncomfortable. Popping that baseball.
So well, they lost.
I said keeping that $8 in your pants.
It's like Ted Cruz. Put it in. We're gonna put this in the basketball ring.
Yeah, same sort of thing. Boy, you're really popping that baseball.
Well, the A's beat the Mariners today 8-5, so the Mariners suck again.
Well, I will be down there tomorrow watching spring training. I'll give you an update.
I do like – well, you won't give us an update.
No, probably
can we call you live?
Why you said that.
I'm going to be drunk, but, you know, maybe I'll send you a text.
I do like looking at box scores of spring training because then you can see what players play for teams that you had no idea.
Yeah.
One of those I found on the Mariners today. Did you know that Rowdy Tellez is a Mariner?
No, I did not.
The big old fat guy that plays.
I thought he was a Pittsburgh Pirates still.
He is in Mariners camp.
Yeah, right.
Go Rowdy.
Yeah, hit a home run today. What else do I have for you here, Jace?
That I don't know.
I know you're longing for more. Mm-hmm. Well, the rumor mill's heating up at the Combine. Reports Tom Brady is recruiting Matt Stafford to the Raiders.
Yeah, they're saying that the Giants and the Raiders are going all in, and that the Rams are sitting there licking their chops and are saying, yeah, the price is about to go up. They're trying to get a bidding war going, which Again, I do not understand why the Raiders and the Giants, who are both in the middle of really needing rebuilds, are going after an old Matthew Stafford. But the Giants, at least you needed to keep from getting fired. You would think the Raiders were going for more of a long-term approach.
There's also a report that Aaron Rodgers wants to play for the Rams should they move on from Matt Stafford, and he will bring with him Devontae Adams.
Well, they're going to get rid of Cooper Kupp, so they will have a receiver slot open there. And it would make sense because if the Rams do move on, they are in an opportunity now to win. And because there's not a young quarterback to go get, they would be looking for a bridge guy, and that would make sense. Especially if they can get some draft capital out of Stafford, bring in Rodgers and Adams.
It is the third 20-win season in the past 35 years for Oregon State basketball. The Beavers playing tonight, hosting the Dons of San Francisco in their final home game. The Ducks have won four in a row. They get this full week off before hosting USC on Saturday.
What, two left, right, before the conference tournament?
Three. So they host USC Saturday, then it's Indiana and Washington. On the college basketball scoreboard tonight, you do have one team in the top 10, currently with 6 minutes left in the second half. Michigan State. That was rather clunky, wasn't it?
It was a little bit.
Michigan State, they are ranked eighth. They are beating number 16 Maryland on the road, 48-43.
But you finished strong. Clunky at the beginning. Solid.
Thank you so much. Auburn is playing. They're number one. They're leading Ole Miss 54-44 early second half. If that tickles your little...
Number one.
Hairy butt.
Oh. Someone called for it.
Oh, yeah, number one. I always love this. We'll have a segment on this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here. But the annual NFL Players Association survey.
Yes.
Report cards are out.
Turns out the Jets hate Woody.
These are great. Only one owner got an F grade, and that was Woody Johnson of the Jets. Three owners received A pluses. Arthur Blank of the Falcons, Ziggy Wolf of the Vikings, and Stephen Ross of the Dolphins.
Yeah, bit of a surprise there with Miami, but I do enjoy that Woody got an F.
Ownership was just one of 11 factors that players weighed in on. The worst overall grade went to Arizona. Patriots second worst. We'll tell you the top five in order later this hour.
Funny, because remember last year, I mean, they do this every year, but Kansas City finished near the bottom last year.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily happy, but they were very good.
There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, now with 19 locations across Oregon and Washington. They are in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. All right, how a bro gets two luxury cars stolen at one time, the details, and why the third one was not stolen, next on The Fan. All right, coming up next, we'll tell you what five NFL franchises players dig most. The annual report cards are out. But, yeah, I wanted to tell you about the deets in the Carson Beck auto theft. He had two very nice automobiles stolen from his new home in Miami, where he lives.
With his new smoking hot girlfriend. He's with one of the basketball twins.
The Cavender twins, yeah.
Yeah, can I...
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know about smoking hot.
Really?
They're upgraded because they are identical twins.
Yeah. Well,
if the Cavenders about... were one individual person, people wouldn't think quite as highly.
They do very well on the on the social medias.
But I'm just talking about, you know, just, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Hannah Cavender is the one he is with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're together.
Yeah.
And so he has this nice new hot house in Miami, because he probably got $8 billion from Miami to go play there.
I find it laughable, though. I mean, suppose he got like $3 million to go there. And look, good for him. It is going to be amazing how many of these dumbass kids piss away every dollar. Like, there is no guarantee that Carson Beck is doing anything in the NFL. And I just find it adorable that he took his first couple million dollars and bought hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of exotic luxury
cars. I'm
reading
they think he secured about $10 million in NIL money.
$10 million for that guy?
Tell you what, that
Cavender. Well, not the school. I think the school gave him like four or something like that, but I think all the other deals he's been able to generate at Miami with Miami.
The Cavenders aren't doing poorly either.
No, they're not.
Way better than him, probably.
Way to wisely spend that money.
But look, so he had a Lamborghini Uranus or whatever it's called. Uris.
Uranus.
And a Mercedes-Benz E635.
Yeah.
She had a Range Rover in the driveway. So his two cars are in his nice new house garage.
That Lambo is about three bills, by the way.
So the house is really nice. Mm-hmm. And the reason we know this is because there is now
police footage
of them talking to him the next morning when he came out and he's like, my cars aren't here. So he...
does he also kind of seem like an idiot?
I think I have in my head made him out to be a total dope.
Wow.
And I think it's just the way he... just kind of the look on his face. Yeah. He
is
just,
it because his eyes are set so wide on
his head? Maybe. And that's very unfair.
It is unfair.
But that may be it. He's just very bro-y, okay? Yeah. He seems like an idiot.
Yes.
But he's probably wonderful.
Which is also why I felt bad, but I kind of chuckled when I saw that he got his car stolen.
So he comes out. Hannah's already out there. And by the way, they have a hypoallergenic golden doodle.
Of course they do.
Much like,
gotta love the doodle.
Much like Buckley over there. Turkish bathhouse buck. And the cops are like, what the hell happened? He's like, yeah, my cars aren't here, bro. And the garage door's open. There's nothing in it. And the Range Rover, her Range Rover is parked on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
They did not take the Range Rover.
No.
So what ended up happening was his cars were in the garage and they've already caught the guy. He's a 20-year-old kid. His name is Tyquan Anderson. He's already confessed and they've got him and he faces up to 30 years. Because the dumbass broke into the Range Rover, mm-hmm. hit the garage door opener, went into the house, grabbed the keys to the two cars, opened the garage, and drove off.
You know what? That's not a bad plan.
In two cars.
I like where we're
Why
going
Why didn't
with
he
it.
Take the Range Rover?
Well, he didn't want the Range Rover. The Range Rover was lame. The Mercedes and the
You got to... I mean, you already taken two cars and you've already burglarized the home, so you might as well just throw a Range Rover on top of
it. Just take all the sets of keys, right?
Yeah. Well, he had an accomplice then, obviously, because you can't drive two cars. Maybe that was they just had two guys, so you had to make choices. And the Range Rover was probably the least expensive of them. Or maybe, like, you know what, not really a Range Rover.
Or maybe Miss Cavender kept, did they say that her keys were available? Because maybe hers were in her purse.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. The Range Rover gets totally crapped on here.
Yeah.
And well, maybe rightly so in this scenario.
I mean, we looked at, what was the Mercedes?
It was a E635.
Let's see what we got. Because the Lambo at 300 thou,
So there were four masked individuals who executed the theft.
Hmm.
On the fan.
No, I think the Range Rover is probably more expensive. So they made... Yeah, they're saying that's like $113,000. I think the Range Rover is more expensive than that.
And by the way, obviously they had been staking him out. They knew he had nice cars in there, right?
Yes.
And they also said it's a brand new house. He just got there. Mm. So there's no security footage. And I'm sure they knew that too.
Yeah.
But if they just don't get greedy and break into the Range Rover and take it.
Yeah, they're probably fine.
They probably get away with it. Because there's no security footage.
Although the car is so identifiable. Like, how many Lamborghinis are there out there?
That's my question about stealing cars. Why do you steal cars?
Like, you have to everybody be able to knows. Chop it or flip it.
Yeah.
Like, really easily.
Like, you do that with, like, you get it and you erase the serial number and, you know, put the license plate. And by the way, if that's the AMG, then that's starting at $270,000. So
her
maybe
car?
They aren't morons, the Mercedes.
Oh.
If it's the AMG model.
How much is the Range Rover?
I'm guessing the Range Rover is probably like 150 to 170.
God, that's obnoxious.
Yeah, dude, cars are...
really are expensive now.
That Range Rover starts at 107.
Which is the reasonable of the three cars.
It is. Believe it or not, the Range Rover does appear to be the most reasonable and also the one that you don't want. I like that the thieves are like, you know, I can't.
They're like, just park it over there.
Bother with the Range Rover.
By the way, the other thing about this video that I find funny is that right as it starts, it is not Carson Beck and Hannah Cavender that are talking to the police. It is a Miami football coach who proceeds to tell the police, yes, I'd just like you to know that that's our quarterback. And he's got the big U on his chest. Yes, that's our quarterback.
We just rolled, brother.
So please give him the Miami University quarterback treatment. Thank you.
Something tells me, yeah, if you get your car stolen, I'm not certain that the police are taking it very seriously, but when the Miami quarterback...
Well, they had a coach over there, so he obviously called the team And the coach is like, I'll be right there. It's all in the $10 million NIL Mario? Contract. It wasn't Mario. I don't know who it was, but he looked bro-y.
Well, am I the only one, too, that because it's Cristobal and it's Miami, and it's not like Beck had a great year at Georgia... Anyone besides me gonna laugh when that dude falls flat on his ass next year at Miami and throws like 15 picks and Miami loses four games?
Not gonna lie, I'm kind of rooting for it.
I know, right?
That's exactly what they're gonna do. He's not a great quarterback. They're gonna lose three or four games.
I am making the statement right now that I have no reason to dislike Carson Beck, and yet I'm actively rooting against him. And I feel bad. I shouldn't, but I am.
Well... His eyes off the ball, too. Yeah. You know, look, dude, he's down in Miami. He's partying. He's got all this money.
He's got the hot girlfriend.
I mean, come on.
They're on TikTok. They're doing their
like, you think that guy cares if they go 8-4? No. He doesn't care.
What's the over-under Miami's wins? I'm taking the under right now. I'm calling my shot. Miami's going right in the toilet. It's a Cristobal-led team.
Guarantee
they choke down the stretch.
Somebody said those cars are probably leases as part of the NIL deals. I doubt that. The car's that nice? Eight and a half what?
Wins over under Miami next
season. That's not that much.
Well, I think but odds makers aren't stupid.
Yeah. The expectation is they go 7-4 or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, in between 8 and 9 wins, that's about right. That's a very Carson Becky.
Or 8-4 on a 12-game schedule? Yeah.
That's worth a couple million bucks. Dude, eventually some of these NIL bros, like these boosters are going to look up and be like, what did I pay for? Like, really? Like, that's...
You think those, like a Lambo is an NIL deal? Or they just give him the money and he does whatever he wants with it.
Maybe a little bit of both. I know in Texas they have some Texas hands out Lambos. There's some luxury car dealer down there that hooks up some of their guys. I don't know about Miami. There's a possibility that some of those are leases, but trust me, put nothing past dumb athletes that the moment they get a little bit of money, they buy multiple luxury cars. In fact, Charles Barkley talks about this. He says that when he was in the NBA, he bought like 3 or 4 luxury cars. And I don't remember who it was, but one of like the vets pulled him aside and like, hey, dumbass, you can drive one of those at a time. There's a reason why those guys go broke. Like, I understand that let's say he made $10 million, right? Which I still doubt whether Carson Beck made $10 million. But we'll even give him $10 million. You didn't make $10 million, you made $5 million. Plain and simple. You made $5 million. And that's a bunch of money, but you just spent $600,000 on a depreciating asset. You think about what you could do with $5 million, and your first thing was, if you bought these, was like, yeah, I'm going to spend $500,000 on 2 cars. And then the house that he bought down, it's just... Guys, there will be, and by the way, this does not mean that I'm against NIL. These guys earn every dollar they make, more power to you, whatever you can get, have at it. I hate these kids can't handle the money. That's not for you to decide, right? They earn the money, they can do whatever they want with it. But I'm telling you, you are going to see so many stories in a handful of years about the Carson Becks of the world that plummet in the draft or out of the league in a couple years and absolutely pissed through millions of dollars. Guaranteed.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yep.
NFL Players Association Team Report Cards 2025. Next, here's Buck.
Internet buzz going on right now.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The combine at a Starbucks across from the Indy Hotel, that there was a serious confrontation that NFL security had to get involved with between two NFL newsbreakers.
No.
Hell way. Yeah.
I want nothing more than video of this to come out.
So who do we think it is?
Well, I would assume newsbreakers. You're talking like Schefter.
You right? ain't like, fighting anyone. It's
Diana Russini versus
Josina Anderson.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mina Kimes is involved. What if it's a lady fight? Yeah, we're assuming like dudes, but what if it's two ladies going at it?
I'm trying to think of who's
Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero.
Yes, Ian Rappaport. I guarantee you, Ian Rappaport was one of them.
He gets a little surly sometimes.
He does.
Maybe Florio. Florio gets kind of sensey.
Yeah, Florio.
Florio is pretty sensey, and he's a
little
seems,
tiny guy though.
Yeah, he seems like he gets his butt. Well, the tiny guy is the one that's going to do
that.
This.
He's going to yap about stuff.
Dude, Jay Glazer is not getting in a fight. Jay Glazer would murder someone. This is going to be some little. This is going to be.
So
some
you think
little
it's
dude.
Maybe it's Schefter
that's,
and
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Florio.
Ooh. I feel like Schefter Florio could easily go around.
Battle of Short Kings
at a Starbucks. Someone cuts in line. Like someone says something about like your source is S. Next thing you know, coffee's flying. And if it was at a Starbucks, and I God, I hope this is true, there's going to be security footage. Leak it now. Let's go.
There's going to be footage from patrons, you would think.
Yes.
We need to know this.
So, everyone's in there on their little laptops with their little cell phones. Somebody's taping that.
100%. Let's do it. Let's do it. You're right over there? You having a moment of prayer?
Yes, I was praying.
Excuse me.
So the NFL Players Association team report cards are out.
Yeah.
And this is where the players, like 1,700 of them, mm-hmm. vote on things like ownership, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, travel, accommodations,
just what they think
nutritionists,
what they think of a franchise,
food, dining, treatment of families, mm-hmm. locker room, you know, what they think of their franchise overall. There are 11 things that they weigh, and then it all spits out in a formula, and it power ranks the most would be the word, I guess, the most liked franchises.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And the least.
And it's not always an indicator of, like I said, the Chiefs do very poorly in this every year, and yet you know, they're the gold standard. So it doesn't mean necessarily that this is, you know, indicative of what your team is, but it does give you an idea of what sort of ownership you have, because this all boils down to who wants to spend money.
So it's every player who was on a 2024 roster. It was done online and anonymously.
Yes.
And there's a third-party vendor that provides the survey, that administers the survey. It was done from August to November 2024. Mm-hmm. So as we mentioned in the Hot 5 at 5, the worst report card overall was the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. And that's a pretty standard. Like, I mean, that goes back forever. They just have a terrible reputation. It's not a well-run franchise, and they're cheap.
They did get an A in one category.
What do you got?
Head coach.
Oh, they like Gannon down there, huh?
They like him.
All right.
But the owner got a D minus.
Yeah.
And the locker room, I didn't know there was an F minus. I thought you just got an F.
No, yeah, F minus.
They got an F minus for their locker rooms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's not a well-run franchise. I mean, this is so long ago, but when I was in the league, there were a couple places where they told you under no circumstances do you go there, and one of those was Arizona, and they had the Billy Beane thing where they charged you for food and drink. So, like, if you wanted a Gatorade or you wanted a protein shake, like a Muscle Milk after workouts, the Cardinals would make you pay for it. And I guess they didn't necessarily tell guys, like, free agents when they came in. So you would go into, like, think about, like, a mini bar. You would go into, like, the fridge or whatever, and you'd grab a protein shake. And then, like, when you saw your check, there would be, like, $7, you know. And guys were like, what in the F? And they're like, oh, yeah, this costs money. Stuff like that. I mean, it was just well known that they were cheap.
So the top overall team was the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah. That is a bit of a surprise. You don't necessarily think of the Stephen Ross and the Dolphins.
No.
As like
he seems like a kind of a boob.
Yeah. Well, and he got into that whole thing with Flores and got sued and all that, but apparently takes good care of his players.
They got an A or an A plus on every category.
Yeah. Dude, that's impressive.
That's crazy.
You know what's interesting about that, though? Weren't they saying at the end of the season that, like, they couldn't get the players to listen to anything and that fines weren't even moving the needle? Like, do they just let the inmates run the asylum over there where it's like they can do whatever they want, so that's why they like it?
It's possible. Yeah. The head coach got an A+. Yeah. That's McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Number two overall is the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm. And I can't say that I really think much about Minnesota when it comes to, they have great facilities. They have all new stuff. They have a new, beautiful though. Is that was it M&T Bank Stadium or whatever? Or is it the US Bank Stadium? So I guess they have brand new facilities and, you know, they do an underrated job of building that roster. It's a really good coach that everyone likes. You just don't really think much about Minnesota.
The Wilfs.
Yeah.
Pretty good owners.
Yeah. You don't think much about that.
The Falcons.
And I think the Vikings, by the way, I think the Vikings are high almost every year. This isn't like a new thing.
Yeah, good franchise.
Yeah.
According to the players.
Yeah.
Falcons are third. Everybody loves Arthur Blank. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, he got an A+.
Yeah.
The Raiders came in fourth.
Well, I'll be damned. Yeah, and that's again, weird one. But maybe turn it over a new leaf.
Well, I think they get a big, nice new facility in Vegas?
When they moved to Vegas, everything is brand new. And so some of that is like when you move into a new facility and you know, that's half the battle right there.
They got A's on every metric.
Yeah.
With the exception of
coach.
No, they got an A on coach. Huh. A minus. They got A, which is weird because they don't really have one.
Yeah, they canned him.
Well, of course, no, because we said August through November, so this would have been Pierce.
Yeah.
But treatment of families only got a B+.
That's still pretty good.
From the Raiders.
Still pretty good. Again, maybe a bit of a surprise there. Don't necessarily think of the Raiders as a well-run franchise.
Yeah, the second to last was the Patriots. So the Patriots and the Cardinals are the worst. And the Patriots one is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Seeing as how Robert Kraft is thought of as one of the better owners.
Yeah.
But they did not rate well on much of anything.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. The fact that the Dolphins are one and the Patriots are near the bottom.
I mean, the Patriots, their worst grade, well, they got an F for their weight room.
Sure.
And an F for team travel. Hmm. Their worst grade outside of that was a D for ownership. They don't like Robert Kraft.
Wow. Well, and maybe some of that's just the...
He's an asshat.
Yeah, it's possible. Or he's getting up there in age, or maybe they didn't like the whole, what happened with the coaching situation.
Our people didn't touch the balls.
Well, and you would think that the Patriots, again, facility-wise, but again, maybe they're just old and dated, and you don't keep it up to date.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, That's all I have.
When I was in Tampa, we had the worst facilities in the NFL. They won a Super Bowl out of it.
They said the Patriots team plane, one of the complaints about it was that they had ashtrays in the armrests still.
Oh, so again, just
an old-ass plane.
Old-ass. So some of that is just, again, this comes down to how much money do you want to spend to keep up with the, where were the Cowboys? Did it say?
Oh. Let me pull that up for you.
Because when you think about luxury, don't you think about Jerry Jones?
Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Let's see here. They got pretty good grades. They got a B for owner, mm-hmm. A head coach, which is weird because that's McCarthy.
Yeah.
Rated poorly on training staff and training room. Mm. That was their poorest grade.
That was the poorest.
Everything else, they got A's and B's.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's you know, organizations that have good reputations when it comes to that stuff. And players, especially free agent, look, money talks. I mean, you go where you're going to win and you go where you're going to get paid. But little stuff like that does make a difference. But I think as long as you aren't near the bottom, I don't think there's a big difference between being 10th and being first as long as the money's good. But I do think there are places where guys don't want to go play for ass coaches and they don't want to play for cheap organizations with bad facilities. I think that is real. So it's, you know, 1 versus 15, but I don't think you want to be towards the back half of that.
Also, Dan Campbell got an A+.
Yeah, everyone loves Dan.
All right, that's all I have for that. Coming up next, if you were wondering where Richie Incognito has been, I have the answer.
He's speaking out.
That is next on The Fan. Well, I want nothing more than to find out who was fighting at a Starbucks in Indianapolis. Maybe we'll have the information tomorrow. We'll break it here.
I really hope so.
We're hoping. Fingers crossed. A lot of rumors flying out there right now. But there are some NFL people that are actually commenting on it, all saying the same thing, like, who? I need the video. So let's go.
Well, I'm thinking about also how long this had to be going on for NFL security to be called, get there, and intervene. I mean, these people just yelling at each other for a long time?
The combine, if you've ever been out there, the reason why they always, well, one, they have it in Indy because of the medical facilities. They have so many right there. And like, I mean, they'll do 1,500 MRIs in like 2 days. But the other one is it's all right there.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this, when they say the Starbucks is across the street,
it's literally across the street.
So, you know, I'm guessing there's NFL security at a lot of those places, but I love the idea of, well, we've been to enough of these like college football, like bowl games, dude, some of these NFL or college football insiders, oh my God, they think so much of themselves.
Yeah. The world revolves around them.
Yes.
And boy, there is internal
beef.
Yeah. They hate each other.
And there is no sense of humor whatsoever about it. Remember the infamous Joe Shad incident? I didn't know who Joe Shad was. I didn't recognize him. And I asked him who he worked for. And when he said ESPN, I was like, oh, what do you do? And his response was, I'm Joe Shad.
Wow.
So I started making fun of, Joe Shad. And of course he didn't take kindly to it. And then Stuart Mandel got all pissy that I was making fun of
There was something on Twitter about that.
Yeah.
Did you do? Did you make fun of Joe Shad on Twitter?
Well, I started like the hashtag I'm Joe Shad. And then Stuart Mandel told me to like grow up and what have I ever done? And I'm no Joe Shad. And so then I started making fun of Stuart Mandel. And
you're
then,
no Joe Shad.
I was like, oh my God, Stuart. Like, way to chime in as if Stuart. Joe Shad can't fight his own battles. I was making fun of him too because he was hitting, Joe Shad was hitting on all of the young, like college reporters.
As Joe Shad should.
Yes. There was a bunch of, at those things, there's a bunch of like 20-year-old student reporters from the different schools, and Joe Shad was over there putting on the full Joe Shad. And then there's just those
Whatever
guys.
Whatever happened to Joe Shad?
I don't know. He's somewhere being Joe Shad. I stand by, if someone asks you what your job is, you can't say, I'm Joe Shad. Might as well just say, I'm a douche.
Looks like he works for the Palm Beach Post.
Oh.
Covers the Miami Dolphins for the Florida. Palm Beach Post, yeah.
Yeah. He's busy being Joe Shad. But yeah, those guys, like, they just take themselves
They pretty much.
So.
And it's almost to a man. Like, yes. It's every one of them.
And they just, there's no.
There are some exceptions.
Yes, but it's.
Not many.
It's a lot. So I can totally see some NFL insider getting pissy over someone else and they cut line and you stole this story or this source.
Yeah, it's I guarantee you it's over a report.
Yes.
And they battled over who was first or who had better, more correct information or a source.
You know, someone threw a cup of coffee at someone and then, you know, no one
I can only hope.
You know, no one threw a punch. It was like an open hand slap.
Nearly 12 years.
Swatted the iPhone out of their hand.
Nearly 12 years after former Miami Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito dominated NFL headlines with the bullying scandal of the century. The story has resurfaced.
It's pretty bad.
And reopened some old wounds.
Yeah. Incognito's pissed.
During the 2013 season, the 6'5", 315-pound Martin took a leave of absence from the Dolphins allegedly due to bullying and teasing from fellow offensive lineman Richie Incognito. Reports indicated that the behavior directed at Martin went beyond rookie hazing and crossed the line with threats and racist remarks. Incognito was identified as the main culprit. Dolphins suspended him indefinitely, conduct detrimental. He missed the remaining 8 games of the season. And the NFL looked into it, and they determined he and 2 teammates had regularly harassed Martin.
Yeah, it was him and Pouncey.
So Martin's now 35. He is back in the headlines because ESPN.com did a profile, caught up with him 10 years after he retired. Mm-hmm. And he is now, he's at the Wharton School of, the Wharton School.
Yes.
At University of Pennsylvania.
He's got a bunch of different startups. He's never really quite stuck to anything, but he's trying to be like a crypto bro.
But in the ESPN story, he says, Jonathan Martin says, I never believed for a second I was being bullied.
It was his mom.
Adding that he's been trying to fix this story for 10 years, which is...
That's not true.
That is bizarre to me because this is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal back then. Yeah. He never said boo about that because we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
Everywhere.
So Richie Incognito then tweets, who is still alive. Mm-hmm. He is still with us.
And he kept going in the NFL, but you know, this obviously hurt his reputation, which was already bad. Look, Incognito is not a good guy.
He had a horrible reputation well before this.
But this was, he got hung out on this one.
So he tweets, he couldn't cut it in the NFL, so he quit, and his mom blamed me.
Yes.
Legacy media pushed this narrative long and far. Too bad it was all a lie. They lied to protect his money. He quit. The team had every right to claw back that money. His mom started the bullying narrative with ESPN's Adam Schefter so that the Dolphins wouldn't go after his signing bonus.
Yes.
Wow.
And by the way, I don't... Look, I'm wrong about a million things, but I took a lot of heat because I remember when we were talking about this and I said Jonathan Martin, by all accounts, was a soft guy. And by the way, if you read that story, he still is, and he's still trying to pull the tough guy move. And now there's a ton of people that have come out and said, dude, I covered him in college. This guy didn't like football. He wasn't cut out for it. And this doesn't mean that Incognito was a prince. It doesn't mean that Incognito wasn't a bad guy. But at the end of the day, Jonathan Martin was a very soft individual that was masquerading as a football player. And no, he could not hack it. He could not cut it. And yes, his mother and father are the ones that started this whole thing.
They were the whistleblowers.
And so this idea that he spent 10 years trying to fix this, no. And by the way, he went through some stuff. Jonathan Martin got arrested for threatening to shoot up places.
Like a school, like a middle school or something.
Yes, like, and was posting, like Jonathan Martin went through a mental breakdown. So clearly he was going through some stuff. But yes, they tried to make this thing out to be something that it wasn't. And by the way, since the story has come out, Schefter, none of those people have recanted or even remotely tried to make amends for the reporting that they had.
Well, and also the dad still has one of the Incognito voicemails. It's definitely bullying, it's definitely racist.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, this idea that like that Jonathan Martin was just this, I don't know,
bystander or something.
Yeah, it wasn't true then. It's not true now. And Incognito's pissed because he goes, like, no one is talking about this. If you hung me out to dry 10 years ago, and here we are finally getting someone that's admitting to it, and yet you still remain silent on it, I do think some of those reporters, I think that's poor form.
Isn't part of this that no one's talking about it? One, it's 10 years ago.
It's 10 years
and
ago.
And two, Incognito was a terrible guy.
He was.
So if he got hung out to dry being a great guy, that is a totally different scenario than him being an ass to everyone. And on this one account where it was exaggerated, traded. He's now like, I find it a little disingenuous that he's out there. He's like, oh, you trying to ruin my career? No, dude, you tried to sabotage your career 800 different times.
This is a little bit like Trevor Bauer. What happened to Trevor Bauer sucks. Because Trevor Bauer's career got taken away for something that it was proven that he did not do. But Trevor Bauer was an ass. Trevor Bauer did some uncomfortable things, and no one wants anything to do with him. And that was Richie Incognito. But I get where Incognito's pissed that a mom and a dad concocted something, ran to the media, and they took on the story of the big bad bully, and Jonathan Martin went along with it. And see, 10 years later, you can't come out and say, I've been trying to clear my name. Did you read the whole story?
Oh, God, no.
Jonathan Martin comes across...
I don't really care about the story. I just was interested that this came out.
Yeah, you should, like, if you're all interested, read it. Jonathan Martin comes across, and I see this all the time. When you play football, there's an element of, like, you're supposed to be a badass, right? Like, you're this big, physical, tough guy. And it's just not true. There is a lot of really soft individuals that are good football players. And Jonathan Martin was a good football player. But part of living in that world is having to have some thick skin and having a little edge to you. And Jonathan Martin was not. And to this day, he still struggles with it. One of the biggest problems that I have in this whole piece is I read the whole thing because I remember taking a lot of flack when I said there's two sides to the story and I don't really believe what Jonathan Martin is selling here. And people called me a knuckle dragger and they called me a bully and like all this crap. And at the end of that story, which Jonathan Martin spends the whole article telling people that, you know, he's a different guy and he was never bullied and that no one bullies me and I make my own rules. And at the end of it, he's still playing the tough guy. He says, someone asked, had he reached out to Incognito or had Incognito reached out to him? And Jonathan Martin says, no, that's way behind me. But I'll tell you what, if he did reach out to me now, he wouldn't say those things to me because no one disrespects me or there's hell to pay. And I'm like, you're still trying to play the tough guy.
Yeah, I think he said something like I'd rip his effing head off. And it's like, no, you wouldn't, Jonathan.
Richie Incognito was a terrifying... I knew guys that played with Richie. He was a scary... And by the way, the Pouncey brothers?
Yeah.
Dude, in a locker room full of big, scary guys, those were the big, scary guys. Like, you did not mess with them. They were legit, frightening dudes. And after all these years, you're still trying to do the, I'm not going to be intimidated by anyone. I'll rip your effing head off. No, you won't. No, you won't. At the end of the day, Jonathan Martin, it's a tragic tale, and I feel bad that he was going through his mental stuff, but he was not cut out for that. Incognito may be a bad guy, but Jonathan Martin still can't come to the acceptance on who he is. And he's still playing the tough guy act 10 years later and then has the nerve to be like, I've been trying to change the narrative. No, you haven't. Again, you didn't want to give the money back. And that's fine.
Well,
but be honest.
He should have just shut up. Like, why did you even do a story with ESPN? Like, what is that about? Just shut up.
Well, and someone had said too, like the BYU volleyball N-word thing.
Shut up.
It sucks when the media goes full in on a story. Remember there was the Duke basketball player's grandmother said that the BYU student section was chanting the N-word at her daughter. Completely lies. All made up, completely fake. Proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Never happened. None of it. The grandmother made it up because she was running for political office and she wanted this story out there. And BYU got hung out to dry, and I am not the biggest BYU apologist, far from it. But they hung BYU out to dry. Dawn Staley canceled games with BYU.
Yeah, another school from another sport said, we're not going to play against you because this happened, even though it never happened.
Yes. The women's basketball team at South Carolina said, we are not going to play the BYU basketball team because of this. And even after it was turned out to be completely, and Stephen A. Smith drug him, all that, no one, not an apology, nothing, not a, hey, sorry, we rushed to judgment, none of it. And it's crap when the media goes in and buries someone from Duke lacrosse to this story, to the BYU volleyball thing. It's embarrassing to me that the media can't raise their hand and just say, hey, we went with the information we had, but we were wrong and we're sorry. And so I get why people get butthurt when they say, hey, whether I'm a bad guy or not, you guys ran with a story that was full of crap. They're now admitting they're full of crap and you don't have the balls to at least reach back and say, hey, sorry, we got it wrong.
All right. The trials and tribulations of sitting next to a dead body on a 15-hour flight. What that must be like. Probably pleasant.
Well, quiet.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You don't have to worry about them, like, talking your ear off.
Might be a bit awkward when you're trying to get out, you know.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear this. This is quite a story. That kicks off the club next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.